Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have, life can be pretty damn hard. And without a healthy mind, it's even harder. Check out online therapy with BetterHelp.com/toast and be on your way to a little more ease. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Claudia. Good morning, Mr. Brew.
Brew, dadu, 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 dadu. It's brew, dadu. It's brew, dadu. It's brew. It's brew, dadu. It's brew. Good morning. What do we owe the pleasure of being graced by Bruno's presence? We didn't even get, you know, a week lead up. We got nothing.
Well, Bruno's mom has learned better than to promise Brew.
Make promises she can't keep.
Because Brew's schedule is so erratic.
So unpredictable.
He is just so out of control in terms of what he wants to do.
He heard what you said about talking shit about him and he just fucking bounced.
Mr. Brew. No, he just needs a break because he's preparing himself. Anyways, this morning I decided I wanted to bring Brew. It's a beautiful day and Brew and I were cooped up all weekend and I am worried that he is agoraphobic, so he needs to get out of the house more. I'm going to try and bring him once a week. And I just felt like everybody could benefit from the positive influence of Brew.
That is true. But I did also hear he had ulterior motives for coming because you said that Bruno has an announcement to make.
He does have an announcement that he wanted to make. And he's like, Mom, you have this amazing platform. You have such an amazing audience of full of like kind-hearted people. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I want to let, and he's shy, so he won't say it. And I'm going to say it for him. He's like, I want to let everyone know because I wanted to do a grand gesture for Knowles. And he said he wanted to come on the show and let everyone know that he is in love with Magnolia.
Okay, I'm slightly disappointed. I thought you had something actual to say. Like,
what would I have to say?
I don't know, like a pregnancy update for us. Like, I don't know. I thought you were going to use this as an opportunity.
No, still pregnant.
Still pregnant. That's still a boy?
Still a boy, yeah.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Yeah. No, but he is just, he's excited to be here, you know. And I'm so excited to have him. It's a treat. It's a treat for me. Hi, my little sweet Brew. And he is mommy's best friend, like, and he's mommy's protector, and he does everything that he can to make sure mom is happy and comfortable.
Happy and healthy.
And so, whatever Brew wants, Brew gets. And he was running towards the door this morning. I was like, I said to Brew, get over here.
You said to Brew, get in, loser. We're going to the toast. Actually, speaking of going to the toast, part of me was very hesitant to show up here today. Because if, you know, if let's say I died over the weekend and my last episode on Earth was Friday's episode, like, I would be so at peace. I don't even want to record another episode because I don't even want to, like, push Friday's episode, like, back into the archive. Like, it is the best episode of The Toast ever. I watched it, like, 4 times.
That is so funny. I mean, I think you would be surprised if you watched more episodes of The Toast that they're all really funny.
No, I know.
They're all really funny.
I know when it's time to rewatch The Toast, and I know when it's not time.
I know when it's not time, but I do think, like, if you just went to a random episode, I think you would be, like, really pleased with what we do here.
I guess when I watch it on the day of, I'm very critical, because I'm like, new information has come out about a story. I think you could have been more analytical. But so, maybe you're right. When I'm too in it, sometimes I can't see.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my God,
but no, I feel you. Friday's episode was hilarious. I watched some of it with Brew. And that also was like, he was like, I want to be a part of this. Like, what you guys are
magic.
Creating, it's magic.
Yeah.
And I want to put my stamp on it, too.
Yeah, I feel that 100%.
And he saw Dew, like, looking so sexy. And he was like, I can do that. If Dew can do it, why not
I can.
Me?
How was the rest of your weekend? What did you do?
My weekend was really low-key. I was mostly home, chilling, just, like, watching stuff and reading stuff. So I will share the current journey that I'm on. You know, it's definitely not pop culture related whatsoever, but I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from some of our listeners who are interested in historical factoids. Mm-hmm. So I will be sharing that as well.
No,
I'll wait till a little content section.
Okay.
How was your weekend?
It was good. It was actually very balanced. Like Friday night I spent in, I read a book. It was delightful. And then Saturday night, you know, raged till the break of dawn, 6 a.m. Like spent the whole day recovering yesterday. Now I'm definitely feeling better. And I'm also feeling like I'm going to turn a new leaf, I think.
What will this leaf entail?
I don't know. I just think like, I can't explain it. Like, it's the time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is, like, an important time. Mm-hmm. And I think you're really supposed to use it to reflect on where you're at in your life. Okay. And, Bruno, I'm trying to say something to
you. We have a problem. He sees my scrunchie and he wants
it. Hey, Bruno, I'm in the middle of a...
I can't take my scrunchie out because my hair's not done. So,
Bruno, I'm in the middle of a monologue, Bruno, about self-worth. Maybe you should just sit down and listen.
Listen to your auntie.
Whatever. I'm just feeling like... I'm going to use this time until Thursday. I cannot believe Yom Kippur is on Thursday. Like, you can't even commiserate with me. That's, like, half the fun, you know?
I know. I'm actually quite looking forward to Yom Kippur because it's, like, I get all of the benefits of repenting for my sins, like, turning off my phone.
Really day off being, from work.
Really being present in, like, what I want out of this year and, like, what I want to do differently while also having a snack.
That's so nice for you. I'm not really looking forward to it, but I am looking forward to this journey. I think I'm going to spend the next few days really just thinking about, you know, who am I?
That's a great question.
What am I doing with my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to be doing for the next few days. And it's going to be a dark few days because, you know, before the dawn, it's always darkest before the dawn.
So you're turning over a new leaf for the next few days.
No.
And then do you think that'll inspire you to like plant a new tree or you're going to turn the leaf back?
No, I think that I'm going to turn the leaf in these next few days in the sense of like really taking a look inward.
Okay.
And depending on what I see, I will have to enact the changes necessary, but I'm not sure what I see yet.
Okay. I think that that's exactly what these days are meant for.
Right. That's what I'm trying to do.
If it's not too personal, I would love to hear what you see in there.
I'll let you know. I'm having a hard time like looking at myself because, you know, I think I'm so great and there's like nothing wrong with me.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's some areas I could grow in. I feel like I've definitely gotten better in the whole Lashon Hara department, which is like gossip and speaking ill of people. I mean, technically it's what I do for a living, so it's hard not to. But I just mean in like my personal life, I'm really not like a shit talker.
Okay.
So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. I think another thing, I think I'm a great friend and sister. But I do think, you know, I'm somewhat self-involved, just a little. Like when people talk to me, not you obviously because like obsessed, but when like other people like talk to me about like what's going on in their lives, like I really don't care.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's super rude.
But don't you think that's on them for being boring?
Thank you. 100%. 100%. But like, no, that's like not what being a good friend is. And like, I'm always just like steamrolling over people just so I can like say, like, for me, a conversation is like waiting for you to be done so like I could share my interesting life, you know? Like, yeah. I went to Paris Hilton's engagement party on Saturday. Like, why am I listening to you, you know? But that's not fair and that's not what friendship is. So I'm just really going
to
work
on that. Unless you were friends with only people who went to Paris Hilton's engagement party.
But like, that's not the life I want, you know?
Okay, good to know.
So I don't know. I'm just going to work on being a good friend and a good sister and a good person, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, I should volunteer more, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, so much going on and COVID, like, I know it's hard, but. So this is just a few things I'm thinking about. I've really only started this self-journey discovery, like, yesterday. I need some time.
Yeah, and when you said, like, you don't really know, like, where to start on looking inward, I feel like there might be some pamphlets or, like, questionnaires online that would help you, that identify. Are, like, meant to help you self-think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I also
look
feel
for
like
some resources.
I think a good resource is like just going up to the important people in my life and like asking what's annoying about me. I mean, that's also a hurtful way of going about it, but I do think like probably effective.
Yeah, you could do it. I don't think it will end well for you.
Do you have something you want
to
say?
Well, if you really like, if you wanted to know like everything that there is to know, but you don't. I don't want to know everything.
Do you know something?
No.
Is like, everyone talking about me behind my back?
No, but like, you know, everybody has their thing about them.
Yeah, what's mine?
We could talk about it later.
Oh my God, I have a pen.
No, you're fine.
No, whatever. Like, I was just really, and I think, you know, you don't have to be Jewish to use this time. It's a special time. It really is. Look inward. Think Observe.
Reflect. Heal. Repent.
Heal. But before I heal, like, can I just gossip about what I did this weekend?
Yeah, of course.
So on Saturday.
By the way, why can't a good person, like, talk about their weekend?
I know, it's not really gossip. It's just like an exchanging of information.
Especially if it's about yourself, what you did.
And honestly, I just want to say, like, I don't really subscribe to the notion that you gossiping makes you a bad person.
Because it depends, because you told me about a gossip this weekend sounded like a bad person.
It was, okay, there's a difference between an exchange of information and, like, what the thing I told you about.
It's all about the intent. Nefarious intentions.
Yes, that's it. If you're, like, mindlessly gossiping, just, like, about mindlessness.
I heard this person, like, just sharing, you know, update.
Like, I heard they're separated. Like, they are separated, so I'm not making shit up.
Updates. And what is your reason for letting the person know that they're separated? Is it nefarious?
It usually is.
I don't know.
Seems harmless.
Okay.
No, I just had a great time. I went to Paris's engagement party on Saturday, and I really, like, got to know the couple, you know? And it totally didn't faze me up until that moment was Paris found a businessman beau. He's actually the definition of a businessman beau. And I just think that, like, this is OTP for Paris. Like, it's over. Like, it's over.
It usually is when you found a businessman beau.
And it just, it didn't even occur to me, like, why I thought they were so cute until, like, you know, his like, best friend spoke and they worked together at Goldman. I'm like, oh, he used to work at Goldman. And I'm like, this is smelling like a businessman beau situation. Mm. And that's exactly what it was. And it was so fun. And Kathy was there. And most importantly, I don't even know if I told you this, but Kris Jenner and Corey Gamble were there.
You told me that.
And you would think I would be, like, flustered and verklempt in the presence of Kris Jenner. Like, not at all.
You felt at ease.
My knees went weak at the sign of Corey Gamble. And he hugged the person next to me, and, like, we brushed shoulders. And I swear to God, like, I almost fainted. Like, I'm really not the kind to get starstruck, but Corey Gamble, like, has
your heart.
Has my heart. And just seeing this power couple and, like, being in the presence of them, it was everything of the story. Kris is so fucking cool and stunning and gorgeous. Amy Schumer was there too, which I thought was so random. And it was just so lovely to celebrate love and celebrities. Mm, my two favorite things.
Your two favorite things. Speaking of two things, do you know that your earrings are different?
You're lying.
Or maybe they're a match.
Maybe the ombre ones. Hold on.
Oh, but then the other one starts with pink and ends with blue.
Let me see.
So I think they go together, but it looks like two.
Okay, gaslighter. My earrings are exactly the same stuff.
That's not gaslighting.
Yes, it is.
Me, like, being confused and asking a question.
No, you're like, you're going to literally tell me that my
I think earrings gaslighting
are,
is
my earrings are different until I believe it.
Oh, please. Gaslighting is one of the most overused words, but it's also such an effective word.
I know.
When true. So please don't abuse the term.
No, Bentzhoffer literally figured out what gaslighting is, like, 2 months ago. And now, like, if I make a joke, I'm gaslighting him. Like, he's so annoying.
No, but also, yeah, and then he realized, like, his life is being lit with gas.
Literally. No, like, whoever told Ben about gaslighting, like, is so annoying and is my enemy. No, there's this phrase on TikTok, gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss. So that's really, like, about MLM culture.
Okay.
And people, oh, by the way, have you heard about this LuLaRue?
Okay, so I saw someone posted about it, and, like, that there's an Amazon show about LuLaRue, and I was like, I have no idea who that is.
I have to watch it.
Like, and then I saw it on my TV, so I just clicked it just to see what it was, and apparently LuLaRue is not a person, but a MLM.
It's an MLM started by this, like, turnt couple who, like, brainwashed women into, like, selling their own breast milk to afford their ugly printed leggings. Like, and this, the whole, it's such a crazy story, but, like, made crazier by the fact, like, you see these clothes, like, you will die. Like, they're so fucking heinous and ugly and atrocious. And, like, the fact that, like, this $1 billion company and this huge, like, global scam was started off some of the ugliest clothes you've ever seen in your life.
Maybe I will watch it because I really don't, I can't wrap my head around MLMs. And I don't really have a strong opinion about them because I just don't understand it fully.
Right, because I think, like, when you first, like, take a look at a situation about an MLM, well, it's like, well, if you don't like the company, don't work for
them.
Right,
like, no one, I'm not selling Rodin Fields.
Right, right. But I think there is, like, an emotional element to MLMs and, like, pyramid scheme companies that literally prey on, like, the vulnerable in a cult-like way.
Interesting.
So it's, like, super unethical, which is why, like, at face value, it's like, okay, it's, like, a weird thing, but, like, so you don't like it, don't sell eyelash serum. Like, it's like, yeah, but these companies are built to, like, keep vulnerable people working for them, and like you have to recruit more girl, like it's fucking crazy. Like, so I don't know, because I'm not really like into MLM culture, but that's why it's like so toxic and unethical, and I okay. do want to watch the LuLaRue.
But if you do join, like, is it just the like toxicity that's bad about it, or is it also like a Ponzi scheme?
It's like a schemey vibes. Okay, so like,
or if you do, like, sometimes with those MLMs, like there are the women who like got a car.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Okay, but so the thing is, like, with the car is like a perfect example. And so I've like fallen on MLM side of TikTok.
Okay,
so the car is like actually like fucks you over, because like you get it for free, but like you have to maintain all the payments and like the insurance for a car that you really can't afford. That's why someone gave it to you for free.
Yeah,
and like the car can like literally put people in debt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but like I once watched an episode of American Greed about an MLM company, and not only were they like just preying on vulnerable people, but there was nothing there.
Okay, so that's a scheme, but like multi-level marketing companies are like fucked up fundamentally, because you are required, like you are an employee of a company and you are required to spend like $10,000 to buy the product that you then sell to other people and try and like recruit your friends to.
Yeah.
So like, why do I need to spend $10,000 to get a job?
Yeah, but I mean, it just, Mary Kay Cosmetics is an MLM.
Yes, but I think it's like one of the most like
dignified. I mean, it's very like respected, and it's a company.
I think, yeah.
So
no, you're
what
right.
are they doing that the others aren't doing? What makes I this
that's
is why,
a good question.
This is why I need to watch a documentary.
That's a good question. I have no fucking idea.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. I'm so not down the MLM rabbit hole, and I worry if I take
it's a major responsibility to take on.
I worry if I take a step in and then I'm into like MLM, then, you know, just there's so much content there.
So much.
You know, and it's just that's a lot.
No, but this documentary is making a lot of waves. So is it a TV show or a documentary?
Documentary.
I'm going to watch it.
Okay, cool.
And like LuLaRue, you know, I just can't stop saying it.
I didn't know what it was.
Me neither.
The show is called LuLaRich.
It's a good name.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I did this weekend. Think about MLMs, and yeah.
Very fun. Well, this weekend was this weekend, and then last night literally was spent watching like 4 hours of television.
Real Housewives of Potomac, of course, but then we also like, it really crept up on me, the season premiere okay. of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I have to be honest, I was like, ugh, another thing on my plate for tonight. I just wanted to go back to watching my Rick Burns documentary. But then it started, and I was enchanted.
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City editing is so unique and different than any other Housewives franchise. Like, the music, the scenery, the Latter-day Saints. Like, it's really gorgeous.
No, like, it usually takes a few episodes to get into a show. I mean, the way that they started last night's episode just
chilling.
Hooked me in. Because you know what? It really is so crazy and sad, but like I really do get fatigued by these national news stories that like play out for so long before we even get to the footage.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I was already over the season before it started.
Yeah.
They reeled me back in like
no,
a fish.
100%.
This was them.
And even beyond the Jen Shah stuff, there's other things
and
going on
me.
In the show. There's other things going on in the show that I like care about just as much, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's so good. We'll get into the recap of that, Salt Lake City. We're going to break down the VMAs. Today's the first Monday in May. You know what? I don't feel like I've ever...
It's the second Monday in September.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The Met Gala is always the first Monday in May. You're right.
Yeah.
But then we missed a year and a half worth of Met Gala, and then they moved it to September, I guess, to coincide with Fashion Week. And now it's just on a random Monday in September.
Oh, yeah. It's certainly not the first Monday in May. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I really appreciate it.
I think a lot of people will be confused tonight when they see the Met Gala and they'll be like, is it May?
It's unseasonably chilly for May. Okay, so it's the faux Monday in May.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I've ever remember having this much anticipation for, like, who's going. Like, I just, like, I usually, like, don't even care. But I'm just, I guess it's because so many celebrities are in town for Fashion Week and for the VMAs. So now it's like, who's going to stay overnight one more night?
Yeah. Well, not because like they're going to wait, but like because they weren't invited. Like everyone right now, it looks like every celebrity who's in New York is going to the Met Gala. And we're about to separate
the boys from the men.
The wheat from the chafe.
Dumois posted last night that both Justin Bieber and Kylie Jenner fled town and like dropped out of the Met Gala, which is so crazy because honestly, like if Kylie's not there, like I literally couldn't care less.
No, the ball just went down from like, I would say even this year it's at a 7 because apparently it's like super losery. Like there's a lot of like losery things happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it was a 7 and now Kylie's not there. It's a 5.
Well, here's the thing. If Addison Rae goes, it goes back up to a 7. Like
Addison Rae is going for sure. Well, so she said, I'll watch What Happens Live.
Did she? No.
I watched. Oh my God. Star, you guys. Star alert. It was crazy. She was just the cutest thing. Except like Andy would only ask her questions about Kourtney Kardashian. And it was like, this girl is so much more than that. They had a whole segment about like, what does Kourtney do?
Like, oh, that's so lame.
Different titles, same concept.
I have to say, like, Addison Rae is so interesting. And like, her being friends with Kourtney is like the least interesting thing about her. There's so much more to know about.
And like towards the end of the question, she was like, these aren't my questions to answer. It was, they asked her like, what does she think about Scott's message to Eunice? And she was like,
that's hella inappropriate.
So inappropriate. Okay, anyways, but she just like radiated off the screen. Like it was
said as she should.
He asked if she was going to the gala and she said that she could not say. And they were like, why? And she's like, I'm just following everyone else's lead. Everyone else who's going to the Met Gala.
Oh, she's for sure going. Okay, that's amazing. I've heard that Emma Chamberlain is going too, which is not really surprising because she's like the face of Louis Vuitton digital.
Yeah, and did she not go in the past? Like that year?
I believe she went once. That year that James Charles went. That was weird.
Emma probably went.
Yep. Honestly, no.
Okay, but like,
let me think. Hold on. Let me just Google a picture. I don't think she's ever been.
Okay, but she should be there. That's not like surprising.
Yeah, no, that like when I saw like Dumois posted that she might be going. Oh, yeah, she's been once. No. No, she hasn't. I changed.
Yeah, no, she's such a fashion girly, and like I'm sure she'll be at the YouTube table.
Well, it's not tables by job, it's tables by designer.
It's tables by brands.
Designer, yeah.
YouTube is a brand.
Oh, you think YouTube's? No, she's going to be at the Louis Vuitton table.
You think?
Yeah, 100%, like her and Sophie Turner.
Oh my God, and someone else was just in a Louis Vuitton ad. I swear it was Charli D'Amelio.
No.
Yeah.
You're lying. No,
like I'm pretty sure. Hold on, let me just look it up. I saw.
Also, Anya Taylor-Joy is definitely going.
Of course. She is fashion.
She is elegance. She is the moment.
Do you think Megyn Kelly are going?
Yes. And I actually think for the first time, Kourtney Kardashian is going to be invited to the Met Gala. She's in town. I don't think she would have just come to town for the VMAs. And like she has had a year. Like, I'm sorry. Like she is the most interesting to look at currently. So I actually think she might get invited. Unfortunately, Khloé, it's still going to be a no from Anna Wintour. And I don't think Khloé like will ever get invited to the Met Gala if she keeps doing, you know, sponsor posts for Shein. But
Louis Vuitton, Emma and Charli together.
Oh my God. It's so like
whole campaign.
Is there an age limit? I mean, an age minimum?
No.
At the Met Gala? Like, no. You have to be 21 to attend?
No.
Okay, because, like, Charli's in town. The D'Amelios went to the VMAs last night. Dixie and Charli looked so fucking cute.
They did. We're going to talk about VMA style. I mean, I didn't watch the show, so we're going to talk about the things that you saw on the internet, not from watching the show.
So, oh my God, Charli definitely is going. And honestly, like, Dixie could go too.
Yeah, she could. I mean, I actually don't think Kourtney and Travis will be there.
I kind of do. Do you think Megan is going to be there? It's either all or nothing because they're really the same.
You know, they also went like to dinner, the four of them, after the VMAs last night. Do you know, they're so fucking happen to see what restaurant it was? I couldn't figure it out.
No, but you want me to find out? Dumont definitely has it.
Yeah, we could do it later.
What, did the food look good?
No, I just like, I like to know where, you know.
Where the peeps are going.
Yeah, exactly. But do I think the core four will be there?
This is the thing. Like, do they want it to be like an event full of relevant people? Then they should be invited. But, like, they're very weird. But the
invitations, like, went out a while ago. But maybe she keeps adding people. But things
definitely shift.
You have to get your dresses, like, so far in advance. By
the
way,
no, but if invitations went out, like, for the original Met Gala, like, a year and a half ago, like, Addison would have never been on the list. So, like, things can change.
I think that she would have, but Kourtney wouldn't have.
No, but like things and, change. Like,
has Travis ever been like, why? No. Like, so separately they're not good enough, but together
they might be.
They might be. For me, they are.
Yeah, me too.
For Anna, does it work like that for Anna?
I don't know.
What designers are they friendly with? Maybe that's they'll the go thing. With Dolce.
That's a good call. That's the thing. It's not even about like how famous you are. It's like relationships with designers. But to me, like one of the most interesting, you know, dynamics in all of pop culture is the fact that like, there is this family of like seven famous women and two of them have never been. Kylie and Kendall go, Kris goes, Kim goes.
Yeah.
Kourtney and Khloé never get invited and they never talk about it. Like, I would just love to know, does it bother Khloé? Does she want to go? Like, I want to know.
I think that if Kourtney goes, it will bother Khloé.
Of like, course.
Just to be the only one.
And also, like, when you think about the success of the show and the girls, like, it's so much of it has to do with Khloé. Like, she put that show on her back for years. Like, in the beginning, she was everyone's favorite. Like, and just for them to be at this level now and, like, she's just getting left behind. Like, I think about it all the time.
I just feel like, so the way that it goes is, like, brands buy tables, they invite celebrities that they want to dress or sit with. And then Anna has to approve the celebrities that they invited.
Yes.
I think the Kardashians should buy a table.
Right, like Skims.
Or like even if Hulu bought a table for them.
But I think, I don't know that brands other than fashion designers can buy tables.
I'm pretty sure like YouTube buys a table. That's why James Charles was there.
No, James Charles was with Alexander Wang. I'm pretty sure it's like only designers, like to keep intact the integrity of, so it doesn't become this like commercial event where like people are like putting up billboards, like.
Okay, so it's Skims should buy a table.
Right, Good American could. I'm sure you have to get approved to buy a table, and like Anna would never approve Good American.
No, but at a certain point, like it's about, it's money. A fundraiser. And so if you want to outbid a table, like are you trying to raise money or are you not?
Do you think Taylor's going? She's like always, you know, on the, she's a committee. Her, Harry Styles and Rihanna like run the Met Gala like with Anna.
I don't know what she's up to, so you would know better than me.
Oh, and honestly, I don't feel like she will ever go to an event that Kim Kardashian's at, now that I think about it.
Yeah, and you think Kanye's going?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
He's probably not.
But now that I think about it, like, Taylor's definitely not going.
That's so crazy.
I know.
Like,
well, honestly, like, when will Taylor ever go to the Met Gala again? Because Kim is always going to be there.
No, and now it's like overrun with Kardashians. Like they take over. That's what literally. All the like insider articles say after that. It was just like a Kardashian affair.
Honestly, they should put like a Kardashian on the gala committee because
so that Khloe can come.
No, not only that, because like they really are the epicenter of pop culture. Like they're friends with everyone. They bring everyone together. They make the most iconic moments on social media.
I was actually just thinking that because I was looking at who's the one for this year, and I was like, it should be a Kardashian soon.
It really should. It should be Kim.
It could be Khloe. It could be Kylie.
It could be Khloe. Yeah, it could except that like Kim is so, oh, Kendall. Yeah.
Kim is so involved.
She's so fashion-y. Like,
yeah. So is Kendall.
Yeah, but Kendall is like as work, not as pleasure, if that makes sense.
I understand what you're saying.
Whatever. All's to say, bringing me back to my original thought is I'm so excited to see who shows up. Like, really, truly.
I am too. I forget what the theme is.
It's American.
It's just American.
It's like America colon, you know, something. So like if somebody starts showing up in like stars and motherfucking stripes.
You know, Moschino will do that.
Yeah, like something really tacky. Like that's what I want. Kacey Musgraves is definitely going. She was in town for the VMAs and she looked, I'm sorry, atrocious last night. So hopefully, and I was wondering who she was wearing, but I couldn't find it because I feel like whoever she was wearing is like who she's here with, you know?
Maybe.
Moschino was last year. I feel like it would probably be the same. And that outfit was like kind of Moschino.
I feel like I saw the designer that she was wearing and it wasn't Moschino.
Oh.
But I forget. I feel like she'll go with Moschino again.
Me too. She looked amazing last year as Barbie.
Yeah, like 3 years ago, but yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's exciting to like have something to look forward to. And I really am excited to see the fashions because we haven't seen like fashion inspo in years.
I know, and the Met Gala is so weird because it's like such a talked about event, but it's not televised, so like,
There's
an E-Red carpet, but there's no, like, event.
I mean, I'm good with just pictures, honestly.
Me too, like, 100%.
I get to, like, sit in my bed, watch something else, and just scroll.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Literally. I don't have to watch, like, them try and make conversation on the red carpet.
No, ease pre-show to the pre-show before the show.
Predicting what stars will wear.
Yeah, so dumb.
Yeah.
So I just can't fucking wait.
So, same. Yeah, that will be exciting to discuss. And, yes, this weekend definitely felt like a lead-up to... So we'll see what happens in here.
But I'm ready to dive in if you are. I feel like
I'm ready to dive in as well because our first story is just a continuation of what we've been speaking about. So without further ado, here are the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Curology. Curology customizes a prescription formula with three active ingredients picked for you to help tackle your skincare needs. Whether that may be trying to take control of acne, or if acne is no longer your top skin concern, fine lines, dark spots, occasional breakouts, or clogged pores. You start by answering questions online about your skin, and if it's a good fit, then Curology will match you with a licensed dermatology provider who will get to know your skin, and subject to consultation, you'll get a customized prescription cream to be shipped straight to your door to address your acne, fine lines, dark spots, and more. Honestly, the concept of Curology is so smart because, like, we all have different skin. Like, why are we using the same products? Mm-hmm. Their quiz is, like, super in-depth. You actually take pictures of your face, like, the middle, the right side, the left side, and you ask... They ask a ton of questions. You answer a ton of stuff about your skin. And it really feels like what you get in the mail is tailor-made for you because it is. And I just love the idea that, like, no one has the same one as me because, like, no one has my skin. Mm-hmm. You can start your Curology journey just like we did with a free 30-day trial at Curology.com/toast. If prescribed, just pay $5 for shipping and handling. That's Curology.com/toast to unlock your free 30-day trial. Cancel anytime. Go get that glow.
Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Our first story is a bit of VMA's red carpet news recap. Travis and Courtney, Megan and MGK, and more celebrity couples hit the red carpet. And we'll also talk about some of our favorite looks.
I mean, by far, my best dress was Camila Cabello. And I don't know if that's because she's always flopping on the red carpet that, like, my shock is in overdrive. Mm-hmm. But she just looked glorious. Finally, like, she's literally one of the prettiest girls ever, and she's just, like, always not doing it, like, at all.
Yeah, I feel you.
You think they'll go to the Met Gala? Her and Sean?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, for sure. And he is probably one of my worst dressed.
Me too. Oh, my God. Like, the pants that were not hemmed, the, like, saggy, I don't know. It's just, it's giving very much, like, divorcee on her porch in Nantucket, like,
yeah,
you know, on a chilly night.
Yeah, I agree. I looked at a lot of the pictures. Like, nothing really stands out to me. I thought Charlie and Dixie looked really cute, and I thought that they looked cute
together
because, and also it just, like, harks back to the show where it's, like, Charlie's pink and Dixie's, like, more black, edgy.
Yeah.
And I think it was, like, very on brand for them.
I completely agree. I thought they looked amazing. Nobody, like, stood out completely as, like, drop dead or terrible. Except, honestly, like, on one of my worst dress is Kacey Musgraves, which is so upsetting.
And by the way, she was wearing Valentino.
It's not gonna work for me.
Okay.
The headpiece was really just, like, too campy to the point where it's just plain ugly. Mm-hmm. Like, the dress was cute, the gloves were cute, but, like, all together it wasn't a look.
I actually love the dress on its own. That's, like, a dress that I would wear.
Yes,
but,
it
like,
is.
No gloves, no hat. Just, like, I love the cut of it.
No, and even with the gloves, it was cute and, like, different. But the hat just was, like, it's just.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, at least if she's gonna flop, let it be last night.
No, of course. Like, but she's really, like, constantly slaying her looks. Like, it was just so unlike her. I almost didn't recognize her because I'm like, this is an ugly outfit. Why don't I recognize the person wearing it? Because the person wearing it always looks like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But overall, like, it wasn't like a show-stopping red carpet by any means.
I think the only people who stopped the show were, like, Megyn Kelly because her look was so sickening.
I mean, but also people were freaking out because it looked so similar to Kim's most recent Met Gala look where her hair was wet and she wore, like, that really tight Terry Mugler. Everyone was like, that's what everyone was saying on social media, that, like, she looked so much like her. When I didn't really think it, like, at first, like, I didn't reference that moment at all, but then everyone was saying it, so I was like, I guess, like, technically, yeah.
I didn't reference that moment at all, but, like, okay, so
who cares?
She was inspired.
No, Kim's a fashion icon. Like, we should all be following in her footsteps.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
And by the way, so she followed a Kim Kardashian makeup tutorial and this is how it turned out. Like, we should all be thanking Kim. Like, literally, Megan looked unbelievably gorgeous and stunning.
Right. And we got a sweet moment. Also, another viral moment was just, like, MGK getting into a fight with Conor McGregor.
Yeah, that was very bizarre. Conor McGregor, someone got it on camera. Like, basically, they just, like, started. He just started throwing hands, like, threw a drink. And Megan was caught in the middle. Like, what the fuck is going on? It was so bizarre. I don't know what their beef is, but, like, you know, when I heard that these two people were beefing, like, I wasn't really surprised.
Yeah, that was just random.
Very random. And, like, who cares?
Yeah. So I didn't see any of the performances. Neither did you.
Like, I saw Olivia Rodrigo. Like, she was excellent.
What did she sing?
Good for You. Yeah. All of her songs sound the same. And Kim Petras sang a song that I didn't know. But, like, we stan Kim Petras. And Kim Petras is definitely going to the Met Gala.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, that's what Tomoa said.
Oh, that, stop. You can't tell me. Like, just tell me when it's your prediction versus
a known
factoid.
So, Kim Petras, Addison Rae, Emma Chamberlain, we're all from Chumwa. Like, I can't, but I just was thinking Camila and Sean, like,
well,
for sure.
They go separately, so they would go together.
Yeah.
Sean went.
No, they're going to be, like, sickening together.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. I'm excited for, like, the fashion. And you know what? VMA fashion, like, I do feel like everyone's trying to, like,
have outdo.
And just, like, it's definitely you don't wear, you know, your little LBD.
Your Sunday best.
So it's outrageous. And yeah, that's what we got.
That's true. It's, like, very, like, costumey almost. Everyone, like, shows up in a costume.
Yeah, but then you also look back on the pictures, like, from 10 years ago, and it's, like, those are such VMA moments.
Like the Rose McGowan moment where she's, like, naked under that, like, chainmail dress.
Yeah, or just, like, Britney and Justin, like, wearing all denim. Like, so the VMA fashion is meant to be a little
silly.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Next up, some happy couple news. Britney Spears and Sam Asghari are engaged.
Oh my God, yes.
She says, I can't believe it. The couple announced their engagement on Sunday. They first met in 2016.
This is amazing news because remember when she gave her speech at her conservatorship hearing and she was literally like, I want to drive in the car with my boyfriend. Like, I want to get married and have kids. And like, those were things that seemed to her like not in the realm of possibility. And now here she is like engaged and she's being like so chuggy about it. I love it. Like, honestly, like with the inspirational quotes and like, and this picture. Yeah. She's with like her middle finger. She's so chuggy. It's like so cute how like excited she is.
No, I agree. And I said last week that I was going to be suspicious about like Jamie stepping down from the conservatorship until we saw like Britney doing the things that she said that she couldn't do and that she wanted to do. And like, this is one of those things. And so now I'm like, you guys, it's all happening.
No, this is an amazing sign for what's to come. Like, I don't want to get too excited, but like, this is huge.
Yeah, it's just, this looks like freedom.
It smells like freedom.
And it tastes like freedom.
I think it's freedom. No, it's amazing. So happy for Britney Asghari. Like, how cute. And literally just like, I came to the realization that Britney was chuggy like 2 days ago. And it's like the funniest thing ever because she really is. Like, her quotes, her dancing, like chugalicious.
Oh, beyond.
Beyond. Like, yeah. Honestly, they should link her Instagram to the Urban Dictionary like definition of chuggy.
Yeah, but then it's like she's so chuggy. It's like chuggier than the chugs.
No, honestly, she's so chuggy that it's now borderline ironic. You know, it's like not even chuggy how chuggy she is. You know,
like, I agree. Because chugginess is like a subtle nod.
So it's like a state of mind.
Totally. Just like Bruno.
Do you think Bruno's chuggy?
No, because his mom is just not.
No, his mom is so original and like
nerve, styling, talent.
Charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Yes, that's what he says about mom.
Yes.
Are you ready for our next story? It's a little more happy couple news. And I mean, it's not really news other than just like Ben and Jen have made their romance official, red carpet official
in Cannes.
In Venice.
Okay.
Venice. I saw your story. It's a Venice Film Festival.
Oh, I just like forget that there are other film festivals outside of Cannes. It's like irrelevant.
Agreed.
Toronto Film Festival? Like, no.
Agreed.
Okay. Gorgeous. Like, first of all, he like looks so messy sometimes, but like he got a haircut. He shaved his face. Like, he looked amazing. She looked heavenly. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. So if they're in Venice, they have to be going to the Met Gala, no?
I don't know why I feel like they're not.
I know, because they're so busy. They're in another country. But, like, J-Lo is the moment. Like,
no, she was at the VMAs last night.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, but Ben wasn't there.
Okay, because, like, honestly, maybe he's too good for the VMAs.
I'm sorry. He's too old.
Totally.
Maybe he's they're resting definitely up going for tomorrow.
Oh, my God. She's here. Okay. If, by the way, that will be, like, a huge thing. Honestly, they should have, like, waited to make their debut. Because, like, okay, I know it's probably a big deal. But, like, Venice Film Festival is, like, so meh.
No, but you know what? I think that, actually, this is more iconic because, like, the looks here, like he's wearing just like a bow tie and a suit and she's wearing a stunning white dress. The Met Gala, you're like in a costume.
Yeah.
I think they have to wear face masks throughout too. No. So like, I don't want that to be
on
their
the carpet
debut.
Though they have to wear.
That's, I read in Page Six, like all of the things that are happening for this year's Met Gala, and masks that match the outfits are one of those
but
things.
Definitely not for the red carpet. There's no one around you when you're on the red carpet. Oh my God, that would suck.
Right.
Okay, so you're right. I'm glad we got our moment with Ben and Jen.
And she got to like wear just like the most beautiful dress.
Oh my God, she
doesn't have to be like fashion high end. Like
her body
stupid.
Looked so gorgeous and like curvy and like she just is the moment. Like I keep saying that, but she is. And I thought those pictures and videos of them from the red carpet were adorable. Except, so I read this book. You know, I told you, Fix Her Up.
Yes, I watched your story, but so share your theory with the class.
Okay, so in this book, like Georgie, these two characters, like, you know, enter into a fake relationship. Like they both have their own reasons. Like he wants to clear up his reputation. She wants people to take her more seriously. Like it's moronic. And of course they fall in love in the end. But then like I was watching these videos of Ben and Jen. I'm like, this is like too perfect. It's almost like rehearsed how stunning these photos are, the kissing of the head, like it's gorgeous, but it's too much. And then I'm like, maybe Ben and Jen entered into a agreement a la Travis and Georgie from the book. Mm-hmm. And they're both looking to get things out of their arrangement. Like, of course, what does J-Lo get out of this? Like, no one's talking about A-Rod anymore. A-Rod's the biggest loser of all time. She won in every possible way. Like, people are obsessed, like, the memorabilia of it all, the like, flashbacks to the 90s. Like,
the nostalgia, you mean?
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
You're welcome. Nostalgia. Keep going.
Like, J-Lo's just getting, like, every possible thing out of this. J-Lo's on top of the world. I think J-Lo is a bigger star now than she's ever been, like, literally because she smashed A-Rod into the ground. And now, Ben, like, what does he get? Like, he literally went through like the roughest couple years, like with the whole, you know, divorce thing and then the nanny and the SNL writer. Like, he just had the worst reputation.
The tattoo.
All we saw like were like bad pictures of him like picking up Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Like, he was just like a mess. And so now he's dating literally the most beautiful woman in the world. He's back on top. Like, he's back at Venice Film Festival. Like, when was the last time Ben Affleck got out of bed before J-Lo? Like, I'm telling you, never. Not that I'm anyone to judge, but like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just think that like, we are now in a place where the two A-listers who've like, you know, ebbed and flowed in their fame are like at the actual height of their famousness. Like, I don't think J-Lo's ever been more popular, and I don't think Ben Affleck has, actually, maybe like the Good Will Hunting days, but you know what I mean. I don't think he's ever been more cemented into Hollywood A-list royalty than he is right now, like him and J-Lo.
Got it. So, perhaps. I'm going to say it's a possibility.
But I want to believe in their love.
But then don't you think, like the book, I'm sure, ended up that, you know, you just like every great Hallmark movie.
No, by the way,
you got to get together for the holidays so your parents don't ask for holiday questions.
Yeah.
And then you fall in love.
No, this ruse will ultimately end up in the greatest love story of our time.
And I think they're already in the love phase.
I think so. This is how I think it's playing out in the book version. Ben is falling hard. Because, like, how can you not fall for J-Lo? And J-Lo's, like, really just trying to not give into her feelings. Like, she is focused on the plan. Like, there's so many benefits. Like, this will not work out if they start to fall.
Benefits.
This will not work out if they start to fall for each other. And, like, she's the one not really, like, giving in. But then, like, he'll make an emotional, like, monologue about how, like, they're meant to be and how, like, they were meant to be in this fake relationship. And, like, after all this time has passed, like, it's, like, no time has passed at all. And then J-Lo will give in and they'll live happily ever after.
Okay, so you don't think they've fallen into each other yet, that they've
I think
let all their walls down.
No, Ben is head over heels, and like J-Lo's trying hard not to give
she's
in.
she's been burned
and she's seen the success of the arrangement. Like,
right,
if it gets complicated with feelings and sex, like, it won't work.
Right, but the heart wants what it wants,
and the heart wants Ben from Jen for sure,
and then they live happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will neither, like, I think anything's possible, you know? I at first thought these two were entering into business together, so what do I know?
For a competitive male skincare line called Hims.
Hims. Are you ready for our next story? It's a little more fashion news. This is such a fashion-y episode for us.
I mean, we're so fashion.
Well, I guess because it's Fashion Week.
Yeah, no,
do you want to hear my call about Fashion Week this year?
That the bar has never been lower for people to invite?
Well, that's actually probably in tandem with my call, which is that this week of Fashion Week felt like a week-long fashion's night out.
Oh my God, fashion's night out. I totally
like
forgot about that.
Like, where all these like brands are inviting like influencers to like come, and then like the people come too to like shop, because everything's like shoppable and like ready to wear.
Well, that's like Revolve.
That's Revolve's influence. Yes, no, but that's what it feels like. It just feels like one long fashion's night out, where it's not like about high fashion. It's just about like consuming.
Well, honestly, I really felt like I was watching two fashion weeks happen, like following people like Derek Glassberg, like seeing like the actual high fashion, like Tom Ford, Dior, like all these like, you know, eleganza
they
brands.
They showed in New York?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even see that.
And then there was like the Revolve influencer, the TikTokers, like going to like, you know, like other brands, like not like super, super high fashion, but like, you know, more accessible brands. Contemporary. Yes. Thank you so much. So I really felt like there were two fashion weeks going on, like, which was like kind of cool, because like the Revolve one with all the TikTokers like was super accessible. Like, I think that it was
like, I think they're selling clothes this week, you know?
Right.
And then I'm sure the other ones that are like more high fashion, like, I didn't even see it, but it's like, who's buying?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I
agree. Oh, like the Carolina Herrera, like, you either went to Carolina Herrera or you went to, I'm trying to think of like
Dundas.
Sure. Or like wherever the Revolve one was, you know, like
Revolve, but Revolve owns like all those brands. They're all like collabs.
No, it's literally so smart.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, you look at like the people who went to the Revolve events, and it was like such a diverse group of people, everything. And like, it was the same four people at all like the fancy shows, but there were two fashion weeks going on, in my opinion.
Yeah. And just the more attainable one, the Revolve vibe one, just was giving me like fashion's night out vibe, where it's just like about celebrating like clothes and buying shit.
Yeah. It was, that's a great call actually. Fashion's night out.
TBT.
For those who don't know what fashion's night out was, like, When we were in high school, it was, okay, so one night a year.
It was one night a year, but it only lasted like 3 or 4 years. You know, it was a new idea, and then it ended abruptly.
And it was just this idea that,
I
like,
guess it was not a success.
Every store, like,
and
major
fashion store. And it was started
by, like,
Anna Wintour. It was her idea. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so, like, every major store in the city would stay open at night, even though they usually close at like 7.
It was like during fashion week. So it was one night during fashion week that was meant to be for everyone.
For everyone. So like every store would stay open and like have events, activations, like come get your makeup done.
They would have like celebrities who they like hire to be there, just like influencers. Photo but like booth. This was before influencers.
Yeah.
But so like they would have a celebrity to be there and then like, oh, I want to go see so-and-so. Let's right. go here.
And anyone could go. Like you didn't need to be invited. Like you would walk into Bendel's and like walk around. You could
and
shop.
And you would shop.
And it was really like a fun thing. We went when we were in high school.
It was meant to like boost commerce.
Yeah, I think it did. Enough for Bendel's, but.
But I don't think it was a success at all because it literally only lasted 4 years.
It was fun though.
Yeah, but I do think this fashion week to me like just feels like a long fashion's night out.
That's a really good call.
Where it's just like for everyone.
It's more accessible, yeah.
We all love fashion.
We all, well, yeah.
Okay, are you ready for our next fashion story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by Manscaped. Because autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure your man doesn't carve his pants pumpkins when he's grooming. If you know what I'm saying. Make sure he's keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Ladies, do we really want to cuddle up to a dude who isn't trimmed? Get him to take the leap into fall with Manscaped. Help him join the over 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code TOAST. So they have a great bundle going on right now, their performance package 4.0, where you can find the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, and the crop preserver ball deodorant and toner, plus 2 free gifts. So honestly, like, if your man's is not trimming his nose hair and his ears hair, like, grow up, it's time. Just, this is a great gift for someone. Like, first of all, I got Ben the performance package, and literally it comes with absolutely everything. And when he travels, he just throws it all. They also come with great, like, cool travel cases. It comes with everything because, like, boys don't know how to, like, shop for themselves. So if you just get, like, one bundle and it's all they need for, like, the rest of their lives. Right. It's just really the best way to do it. You could seal the deal with their Manscaped liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand, and it's fall. So, like, get your man some ball deodorant. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TOAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code TOAST at manscaped.com. Make sure his balls are fresh this fall with Manscaped. So if you want to show your man that you love him, take care of his balls.
Yes. Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Next up, Kim Kardashian West is making another bold statement with her style. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians alum turned heads on Saturday by rocking a head-to-toe leather ensemble by Balenciaga as she arrived in New York City ahead of the Met Gala. I'm sure you've all seen this look. We must discuss.
Mm-hmm. Because honestly, like, remember when Kim was in Rome?
Yeah.
And her and Kanye were not together.
Yep, and it was the hats.
And she was wearing, like, slip dresses and hats, which is just, like, cute, but, like, so basic, like, LA influencer, like, Kim could never.
Yeah.
That's how we knew things were on the rocks with Kanye. Now, in this very weird fashion art moment that I personally don't understand, I've never been more sure that her and Kanye are on amazing terms.
Okay, but plot twist, as of this morning, he unfollowed her on Instagram. She was the only person he was following.
Oh my God, wait, you're lying. Because I thought it was sweet that, like, even though they were getting divorced, like, he still only followed, like, the mother of his children. Like, they don't have to be together for him to, like, have respect for her.
You know what? I saw it. I'm just going to double check for myself, even though it was a headline. Like, it's not just, you know, oh, no, screenshot going around. But let's just go.
That's so, does he follow anyone now? Like, what if he followed Irina Shayk? Like, I would be so devastated.
Okay, wait. He follows 12 people now.
Oh.
And none of them are
who does he follow?
Kim.
Like, The Gap?
Fashion Nova.
Really?
Yes, Jules.
Wait, him following Fashion Nova is actually, like, so bizarre.
Yeah, maybe they're doing a collab.
No, because, like,
because there was all that drama.
They steal everyone's designs, like.
Yeah.
Okay, who else?
Just about, I don't follow anyone who he follows. Like, 018, Super Danny, Fonz Bentley. I mean, just not Kim.
Not Kim, yeah.
Not
12
Kim,
people who are not Kim.
Not Khloe, not Kylie, not Kendall, not Chris.
But he never followed them.
Right.
And he low-key doesn't fuck with that bitch Stormy, so it's understandable that he wouldn't follow Kanye.
So, yes, I saw this and I'm like, Kanye's back. The family's back together. But now I don't know. But also, he could be following people just like as you know, a marketing thing for those could be his new partners of something.
Also, like Instagram's like not an actual depiction of what's going on in the world.
Right. And I'm glad that it's not like he just went from following Kim to following zero, like unfollowed the one. He's pivoting. It's like, you know, when Taylor unfollowed everyone.
Right.
And I don't think Kanye spends this much time. Oh, Kim hurt me. I'm unfollowing her.
You know, that's not what grown people think about. Also, people are really perplexed by the fact that like Travis got one of VMA last night and he thanked Stormy, but he didn't thank Kylie.
Do you think that's why Kylie's heading back to LA? Because she's hurt. She was supposed to go with Travis.
Oh my God, do you think? No.
No, that, I mean,
she wouldn't cancel on the Met Gala for that, but like, I do think it was weird. She's literally pregnant. Like,
I know. I wonder.
Oh my God, I totally forgot Kylie's pregnant. Like, if she did go to the Met Gala, which I'm hearing that she's not from Dumois, we would have gotten literally the most sickening, like, pregnancy Met Gala look.
Mm-hmm. But at least we got some looks this week.
She didn't go to the VMAs or anything.
Like. No, but like she gave us some good fashion looks.
Yeah.
The moms to be, like, we know to take our marching orders. Like, we're wearing lace from top to bottom.
Totally.
And a big coat. She's about the big coat.
Mm-hmm. But oh my God, and now I'm even more sad that we're missing like a Kylie moment if we are.
I just believe that.
I believe it too.
Yeah, so Travis didn't thank Kylie, but that's, like, not that surprising. They're just, like, not annoying like that.
No, I guess. And they're not, like, PDA at all.
And I don't think that, like, his VMA speech means much to her. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I feel like she was watching. I think she put up, like, an Instagram story that she was.
Was she?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, no, Kim put one up because she was watching Courtney and Megan.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
I don't think it matters to her what he says at the VMAs.
Yeah, me neither. But they're just, like, not, like, a... I feel like they've walked one red carpet together, and it was the one
with the white dress.
For his Netflix documentary. Yeah, with the white dress.
Yeah, but then I think they did one recently also.
I don't know. Like, I would have just really loved to see like a family moment between like all three of them. It works between them.
They're having a family moment. They're having a baby.
No, I know. Like on the red carpet, I mean. Like the three of them. Like the unborn fetus, Travis, and Kylie.
And Stormy, the four of them.
Oh my God, Stormy should go.
Yeah.
Honestly, like it won't be long before Northwest is going to the Met Gala.
I seriously can't wait. I wonder if whatever the age limit is, like the year she hits it, 9.
Yeah.
North.
She's there.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay, our fifth and final story. Kate Beckinsale says she's feeling a lot better after hospitalization.
I saw this.
Kate Beckinsale is on the mend. On Monday, the actress gave fans an update on her health, sharing a selfie on Instagram which shows the star lying down with an IV in her arm and a hospital bracelet on her wrist. She said, feeling a lot better. Thank you so much for your kind messages and love. The update comes after TMZ reported over the weekend that Beckinsale, who has been in Las Vegas filming her new movie, Prisoner's Daughter, was taken to the hospital for a back issue. A rep for Beckinsale did not immediately respond to people's requests for comment.
Yeah, I heard she like threw her back out and honestly like relatable.
Yeah.
I'm surprised like more people aren't
throwing their backs out.
Yeah, like aren't canceling on me or like even canceling. Maybe Kylie threw her back out. Like that's why she can't go. It's a very plausible thing where like no one can really know if you're faking it, but like you are completely like debilitated by it.
I think even if Kylie threw her back out, she would go because it just like
she's wearing like a major headpiece that would like her back couldn't sustain.
She could take the headpiece off,
right?
But I think tell everyone Kylie threw her back out. That's why she's not going to
the gala. And also like if you're really not looking forward to something and you want to cancel, like saying you threw your back out is the best because you don't have to show any visible signs, like you don't have to have a cough or like a runny nose, but like people who know what it's like they won't question it. They're like, oh my God, like can I get you anything? It's actually an amazing excuse.
Yeah, but it must be really bad if she had to go to the hospital and she's like on an IV drip and all this.
What can a hospital even do for your back? Nothing, right?
I don't know a lot,
unless you have like a herniated disc.
I don't know a lot about backs.
I do.
I'm sure that you do. I really don't.
Honestly, I think in like one of my Yom Kippur resolutions, like I want to see a chiropractor, like start taking care of my back.
I actually, people tell me to go all the time because of my migraines, like to do like physical therapy and stuff like that. It's just like I'm busy, but.
No, I know. And like
part I'm busy of, laying in bed.
Part of me like really feels like chiropracticity is like a scam.
Except then I saw Real Housewives of Salt Lake City last night. And do you know that you have like 12 ribs and 4 in the upper and he's going to push them back into place?
Jenny's husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a great transition into our TV recap, which we'll be covering Real Housewives of Potomac and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So I think let's just get Potomac out of the way.
I agree. We haven't recapped it in a few weeks. I'm all caught up.
Me too. And it's honestly just like fine now. Like everyone, like Giselle and Karen, like were able to like have whatever sort of peace,
and that's on because of Karen. And I think when Karen apologized,
it's on Karen.
When no one, there was like a stalemate. No one's going to apologize, and of course Giselle can't even consider being like the bigger person because she does not know what that means. Mm-hmm. And when Karen apologize, and it's still Giselle still wouldn't even accept it because she's like, look me in the eye. And so you think Karen is
That was so fucking rude.
Because she doesn't want to accept it, and so you think that Karen is going to be like, I'm not saying it again, like I fucking said it, but Karen, grown woman that she is, looks her in the eye, heartfelt apology, and it's just like, you would have thought before that the person who apologized first would be the weak one, but it was actually a sign of strength.
No, she's literally the most fucking mature bitch I know, and this episode was really bothering me because like this, first it was Candace who called Ashley a wide ass. Like, literally what, she gave birth 3 weeks ago. She's, first of all,
wide-bodied.
She looked literally better than me. Like, she looks amazing. Like, she got out of the hospital 3 weeks ago. Candace is so fucking nasty. Like, that's such an evil thing to say. And then, like, Giselle called Karen, like, a fat vagina or whatever. Like, what? Why is nobody calling people? Like, that's so fucked up.
I don't know. And then Candace also was like, I'm not saying your I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your big face and your big forehead.
Like, oh, yeah, she went after her forehead too. Like, what? It's so evil. Like, and I feel like that happens a lot in this group where maybe it's just like how they talk to one another, where like they say evil things about each other's appearances. And then they never, that's not like one of the things they apologize for. That's just like them like being shady. And it's like, I would cry. Like, I literally, if I was Ashley, I would hysterically cry.
I can't.
It was bothering me so much. Like, no one was even calling it out.
It looks like Candace gets hers next week in the music video. And it's like,
I hate to be like, next week looks so good, but it does look like literally
first like of all, it's gonna be cringe-tastic.
Her singing career is so fake, and like all she does is like spend her days trying to like figure out ways to make it look real to us.
She's literally,
and
like, she's doing with her music video class,
let me say, I know what you're
is
doing,
learning TikToks in your bedroom.
Oh no, I said like her music career is honestly that of Melania Judice. I thought,
no,
that's what you were gonna say.
I think Melania's a star, a bigger star.
Melania's song is so good. I can't wait to grow up. No, like, it just looks like it all comes crashing down next week, and it's going to be hilarious to watch. And honestly, like, I love Candace's mom. Like, she just really fucking lays it on Candace, and nobody does. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, but you know what? It's so weird about Candace because, like, she's bothering me less and less.
Me too, because she's so Team Wendy, and so am I.
Yeah, and, like, she is right on the money 50% of the time.
She's not, like, she's right with the Wendy stuff, but mostly because, but she's wrong on the Ashley stuff.
Yeah, no, she's wrong about like everything else.
Yeah,
but when she's right, like it's nice because we need everyone on our side.
We do, but honestly, like Robin talking to her life coach, like I actually would rather gouge my own eyes out.
I watched, but I fast forward that.
No, I know, like Robin just hasn't really evolved in her life or in her
storyline
at all. Like she's still talking about, and it's terrible, like that their friend stole money from them. Like it's crazy and it's terrible, but she's still like healing from that. And as a person, I'm obviously understanding of someone taking their time to heal through their trauma. But as a watcher of television, I'm like, we've been talking about this shit since season one. Like, get a new line. Like, yeah, it's so boring.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's what her...
She said that, like, that's why she, like, has a really hard time trusting people and, like, her friendships. And even with Juan, like, they're, like, just in this, like, stagnant place because neither one of them have, like, really truly healed from being so betrayed by a friend. Mm-hmm. Which makes total sense. Like, human to human, but like I'm watching a television show, like shut the fuck up, like talk about something else. It's so boring. Sorry, it is.
Yeah.
And like this life coach is just like cool. Like life coaches are just, you know, I think life coaches are fake. Like
I just feel like if there wasn't reality TV, like life coaches would be out of a job.
No, and also like why didn't you just become a therapist? Like you're like a life coach is just a therapist with no ambition. Wow, that's so mean. If you're a life coach, I'm really sorry, but like that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you need to see a life coach based on what you were saying at the top of the episode.
Oh, my God. Totally. Or a therapist.
Like, no, I don't think therapy is what you were, like, for what you were saying, like, no, not therapy.
No, you're.
But, like, you want direction.
No, by the way, you're totally right. But, like, I don't know. I could really dig myself in a hole here. I think I'm just going to stop talking.
Okay, cool. Let's move on. Cool.
So, I feel like nothing else really happened in Potomac. Tell me.
Yeah, no, it. Nothing else really happened.
I just except, really like Mia. Except, wait,
I just want to say, I watched What Happens Live last night because I don't know, like I forgot to change
turn
the
TV off.
I forgot to turn the TV off. It was Mia and
Heather.
And Andy was like so like verklempt that Karen filmed her Surrey County thing in Potomac.
And by the way, Karen put on her Instagram and she tweeted like, they filmed the landscape shots in Surrey County. But the part where just Karen was on camera talking about it was in Potomac. They really tried to like make an ass out of Karen, and it wasn't a big deal.
They really tried to make an ass out of her. I assume that's what they were going to do.
Me too. Andy, we're never going to pretend that the Potomac River
was more outraged on Watch What Happens Live last night that Karen filmed the video for Surry County in Potomac than he's been about Erica Jane and Tom Girardi, than he's been about Jen Shah, than he's been about any other like atrocity committed by some. This was the worst thing a housewife has done.
No, literally.
He could not get over it.
No, and I just knew like Giselle was like living for this editing, and it wasn't a big deal at all. They never pretended that Potomac was Surry County. Karen clarified on her Instagram, like, all the landscape shots, the shots of the cornfield, that was Surry County.
Yeah.
But Karen sitting in her gazebo was obviously in her hometown of Potomac. They never pretended like it wasn't.
That's, like, fine by me.
No, it was so, like, fraudulent, like, the way they framed poor Karen Huger.
They framed her.
I'm really sick of it. Like, honestly. Nobody fucking respects Karen Huger. None of the women, not production, not Andy. And it's disgusting.
No, I'm really just going to need Andy to bring that energy to the Jen Shah files.
Yeah, no. Andy's, like, really disappointing me. It's crazy how I literally went from, like, Andy Cohen was my... I mean, I still really, like, love and respect him. But he was, like, literally my hero. Like, there was no one in the world I would have rather gone to dinner with. And I just feel like in the last year, like, he's just let me down so much. It all started with Monique. And then, like, the Watch What Happens Live from homes, like, him being so disinterested. And, of course, like, we all were going through it. So, like, I'm sympathetic. But, like, I just feel like he hasn't had any joie de vivre for his life or, like, his business. Sorry, his job being the host of Watch What Happens Live. I feel like he has not had any joie de vivre in the last, like, 2-3 years. And it's just been, like, downhill. And it's sad because, like, I feel like what we all connected with Andy over was, like, his obsession with, like, pop culture, being obsessed. And, like, I don't know. I just feel like he doesn't care anymore. So, like, I don't either.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's talk about Salt Lake City.
Okay, yes. The premiere of Salt Lake City was last night, and our recap is brought to you by, you guessed it, Boll & Branch. They know high-quality sleep doesn't stop at your mattress, and their ultra-soft organic sheets are transparently sourced and produced in safe, fair conditions. You'll feel a difference and know you're making one. Okay, I have all of the Boll & Branch sheets, and honestly, before they sponsored the show, I bought them off of a Rach Parcell sponsored post, which... I'm really proud of that decision because if it's good enough for Rach Parcell,
it's good enough for all of us.
And by the way, when it comes to sheets, I really, really care about like the cooling technology because I'm a sweaty sleeper, even though I sleep in an icebox. Once I get into a deep circadian rhythm, it's over. Like I'm getting neck sweat, boob sweat. And the Signature Hem sheets are their beloved bestsellers for a good reason. They get softer with every wash. They're buttery soft, lightweight, and 100% organic sateen weave that's perfect for all seasons. They come in a variety of colors and sizes, from twin to California King. They're made to a higher standard with toxin-free processes and fair trade certifications to ensure that workers are being paid livable wages. So if you're looking to spruce up your home, like start with your bed. It's the best place ever, and you should be spending as much time as possible there. To experience the best sheets you've ever felt, choose Boll & Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights with free shipping and returns. And our listeners can get an exclusive 15% off your first set of sheets with the promo code TOAST at bollandbranch.com. That's B-O-L-L, Boll and Branch.com, promo code TOAST. Honestly, they never get promo codes, so like you should really use this one.
You know who loves Boll & Branch?
Brew is obsessed. He couldn't even get out of bed this morning.
That's why he's not here.
Okay. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. There's obviously like so much going on. There's like two things. Obviously the Jen Shah of it all, which hasn't even happened yet, but Heather was on Watch What Happens Live last night talking about it and like really getting under my skin. Mm-hmm. There's such a weird thing happening because it seems like since the reunion, like Lisa Barlow has made the decision to like be obsessed with Jen Shah. And it's so weird because they never even were friends. And now like Lisa's really like jeopardizing her friendship with Meredith in order to be friends with Jen. Like it's the weirdest thing ever. And Heather literally fucking hates Jen with the intensity of 10,000 suns and will use any excuse to talk about her. And I'm loving it. Then we find out this thing about Jen where Jen literally defrauded hundreds of people out of their retirement. That Jen is basically like allegedly an evil person.
Well, she's been charged with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to know if it's like true until the trial, but it's true. They don't just go around charging people for things like that.
Right.
But you still have to say allegedly. So once we find out this piece of information, Heather, who hates Jen, automatically feels his obligation to be her friend. She was on Watch Robin's Live last night saying that, you know, Jen is in a position where she needs a friend right now and Heather is going to be that for her. And how basically like this whole time she knew that Jen's business was, quote, unsavory, but she didn't think it was illegal.
Like an MLM,
which is just like so weird. Heather literally, I don't know if she was drunk, but she was like, is this live? You saw it. You watched.
I missed that.
No, she, like, Andy asked, like, how you can still be friends with her, especially when you're not even friends with her in the show. But now that we know all these terrible things about her, you're even closer with her. And she was like, is this live? And they were like, yeah, it's Watch What Happens Live. And she basically was like, I mean, I've known for years that Jen's business was, quote, unsavory. I didn't think it was illegal. And now she's just in a position where she needs a friend. And like, I'm going to be that friend for her. It's so weird. And then when all this stuff comes out, it seems like Lisa Barlow drops Jen Shah in an instant. So like, everything is backwards.
Everything is backwards. And I just want to say, like, Lisa Barlow, I don't like where that she's not being like everything that Meredith needs at all times, because Meredith deserves everything.
No, and that conversation on the couch was so, it was gaslighting. I'm sorry. To pretend like what Lisa's going through with Heather is even remotely close. I didn't know half that social media stuff.
I don't think that's gaslighting. I think that's just wrong.
I think it's gaslighting, like belittling Meredith's feelings to like the moronic fight between Whitney, Heather, bad weather.
Oh my God, stop. Okay, so, but I was just going to say, like, Lisa Barlow is coming back for me. Like, she, and I just feel like throughout this season, like, I'm just going to be liking her more and more.
I think so too.
And I feel like season one, we just didn't understand her personality. I don't think I still do, but I think we're, like, getting a sense of it where it's, like, I don't know. I just could see myself liking her. Is all
yeah, not currently, because I think, like, she's being such a bad friend to Meredith. Mm-hmm. First of all, I had no idea all of this social media stuff, like, about Brooks. And by the way, I don't even like Brooks, but, like, you do not go after someone's kid. You do not like a post where someone calls, I think the T word is a slur for gay people.
Yeah.
So, like, you, that's so fucked up, first of all. So,
like, I don't know how Meredith, like, it's crossed a line to the point of, like, not, like, we all need to get together and talk about it. It's, like, how does Meredith, why would Meredith ever be friends with this woman ever again?
No, and, like, Lisa doesn't understand that she's trying to, like, encourage some sort of reunion, which is, like,
that's not how it goes.
Once you come for someone's kid, like, you can never be friends with that person ever again.
Ever.
And, like, I can't even stress enough how much, like, I'm not even, like, a fan of Brooks, but, like, literally, of course, Meredith should never speak to Jen again. And yes, it's a direct betrayal. I thought it was crazy that, like, literally Lisa's in Meredith's house with Meredith's kids, sitting on the couch defending a woman who called her son a slur. Like, it's so backwards. Like, you're in her home right now.
No, and who continues to like all of these mean things about Brooks. It's like, Meredith's your friend. Like, what are you doing liking this stuff?
And Meredith is your real friend of 10 years before the show. I don't think that Lisa and Jen really knew each other before the show.
Right. It's just, it's so bizarre to me, but hopefully it starts to clear itself up eventually. And I think I saw in a preview for something, like, somebody asks Lisa if she's in business with Jen.
I know. I thought that was really interesting,
and that
too
would explain why she's kind of blindly defending Jen. But that would also explain why Jen's in legal trouble. Goodbye.
Right. Because, like, she ran with Lisa's money or something.
Yeah, or, like, she doesn't want to be near the smell of any of this.
Yeah, and I'm having a really hard time because Heather is my girl. And, like, that scene where they were all ordering food, like, I was hysterically laughing. She's like, these skinny bitches. But then on Watch What Happens Live, I'm like, I don't recognize this person. Like, and I'm afraid I may have, like, started to stan
prematurely. A premature stan.
A premature stanhood. Well, but you know who I didn't prematurely stan? Meredith Marks.
Agreed. All I'll say about Heather is let it play out. I mean, I don't see myself, you know, going to Team Jen. But just let it play out. You don't have to make any decisions right now. Maybe you'll understand. Maybe she's been through something similar or something, like, and maybe you'll understand why she's doing what she's doing. You never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Just let it play out. There were so many funny moments.
Wait, but there was also two major things that happened. First of all, Meredith got a new house, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, gorgeous, but I feel
and
like...
And she said we finally got a home that was more reflective of our style, because her old house was, like, literally from 70s the 60s.
It's shade. But I remember when contracts were going out last season, and everybody was, like, talking about who's coming back. Like, Meredith had to get a house, because I guess she didn't have one in Utah, so it's obviously, like, a rental.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Whatever, sets the scene.
And honestly, like, just
Paula's for the... good, looks good, cook there.
For the Meredith Mark, like, stand inside me, like, I just, there was just something not right about that house from last season, and, like, this house is right.
I know, but, like, where do they actually live? Not that I think that they're, like, hiding anything, but where do they live?
I don't know. Like, it's a good question. They had said that, like, she had got a home for, a six-month rental for production.
But, like, Jen is in a rental, and she's hiding something.
Yeah, Jen is, but see, you know, the thing is, that's what I was thinking last night, like, when we were recapping last season, like, everyone was just saying, like, we don't really understand, like, the Jen Shah money of it all. And it's just so crazy how, like, right we were. Like, all of our instincts were, like, 100% on.
I know, but we, like, never understand the money.
No, we, like, are so concerned about the money with the Beermans. But right. They're not coming to jail.
Or, like, or Dorit.
But see, like, okay, with the Beermans, like, I'm so confused because they spend so much. But they also have, like, a million businesses. Like, they have, you know, the cosmetics, the skincare, they're in Walmart. Like,
The show.
They actually work, you know? For Jen, it was like, she is up until the reunion, like, I thought she didn't have a job.
Oh, she was a party planner.
Right. And then her husband, like, was a part-time football coach assistant.
Oh, no, he's very full-time.
Assistant football coach for a college where, like, the going salary is, like, 500 grand a year, which is obviously a very nice salary, but not for the life that they were pretending to live. So I just want to say, like, we were all right, and that made me feel good. That's what I was thinking when I watched. Her new home is beautiful, though.
Right, but then, like, people also have questions about, like, Mary and her money and...
No, but Mary is explaining how, like, they literally own, like, tons of fast food restaurants. They have, like, tons of real estate. I mean, it's confusing because all of her homes are, like, weird and run down, but she explained how she made her money.
Yeah.
But then also Jen did at the reunion. What did she say her company did? Like, retargeting, like, Facebook ads and shit?
Something.
Remember they asked?
Yes, yes. She had an answer.
It was, a good one.
Yeah, it was, like, some sort of marketing.
It was something she rehearsed.
It was some sort of multi-level marketing.
Literally.
Okay, and then what was the second big thing that happened for you? That you said two big things. Meredith moved.
I did say that. Wow, you're really following up.
Well, because I just want to get to the part that made me laugh.
Heather,
Mary.
Whitney. Oh, yeah. What made me laugh was Whitney dropping the cake. Like, oh, that was God. Actually so funny.
That party looked, like, so fun and real. Her life is just, like, so
cute.
And it just seems, she seems really happy.
Yeah, it is weird that, like, she has a 29-year-old stepson and she's 34.
No, it's, sure, it's unconventional, mm-hmm. but... They seem so fucking happy. Like, they're constantly, like, in bathing suits in their hot tub, just, like, drinking and having a good time.
No, totally. And, like, they have this foam machine just, like, chilling in the garage. Like, it's so weird.
And also, like, all the kids, like, come over.
And they love her.
And it's so cute.
Has she spoken about those kids' mom? I'm curious, like, what, if they get along, like.
Oh, I don't know, because also, like, their marriage, Justin and Whitney, is so.
Is, like, tumultuous.
But also, now we know why Wild Rose is in her.
Yes, because she's, like, throwing that birthday party, yeah.
No, because it's the name of her brand.
Oh, not birthday party. Yeah. Did she not say she was also going to have a birthday party and that was the theme?
Oh, I don't know about that, but she said, like, she has a beauty brand and it's going to be called Wild Rose.
I mean, like.
So now, like.
It's some low level, like, season one housewife, like, starting a beauty brand.
Okay, she's,
like,
on season two, so leave her alone.
That's fine. She looks great.
It was an existing beauty brand, so she gets a pass.
And I was very happy for her, like.
Okay, what made me laugh the hardest is when Mary was doing her podcast and one of the guys on the podcast with her, like, Mary said, like, lead us in prayer, and he starts, like, doing his prayer and he's, like, picking up energy and ruach and he's getting...
The spirit is with him.
He's getting really into it and Mary's like, stop, not like that. And I just feel like if someone cut you off in the middle of a passionate prayer... I can't think of anything more embarrassing.
No, totally. And especially, like, when that person who's cutting you off, like, is your spiritual leader. Like,
and they're like, you're doing it wrong and you're being extra.
No, like, you suck and you're ugly. Like, you're right.
No,
like,
but calling someone's prayer style essentially extra, like, is just so hurtful.
No, also, like, when we saw Mary's church, like, it looks like they encourage the extraness. Like, everyone's, like, dancing. Like,
right, and he was just, like, getting into it. Like,
leave him alone.
I literally wanted to cry for him.
Can I tell you, like, I didn't even remark at the moment. I honestly can't even remember what you're talking about. But you called me. You're like, did you see? And you're, like, in stitches. I'm like, I was so unfazed. I'm like, I must have been on my phone. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You need to go back and watch it. Because I can't think of anything that would cut me down more.
No, totally. Especially if you're, like, a deeply spiritual person.
Right. And honestly, Mary is just, I'm a big Mary fan.
Yeah.
I am. I like her, even on her podcast when she's, like, just, you know, usually I don't, like, Giselle and Robin, I did not care to hear about their podcast. Yeah. You just get to see a different side of Mary, and, like, she's clearly very spiritual, and mm-hmm. it's interesting. And then also when she was at lunch with the girls in the igloo, like, she's also, like, a cool friend.
I know. I feel like nobody ever includes her. So, like, seeing her at lunch with the girls, it was like seeing, like, a dog walk on a tying leg. Like, it was so bizarre. Like, it's like seeing a teacher out of school.
She was so appropriate. And even Meredith with her
grief. She was
being
funny. Like,
and then we have a spiritual leader here to get you through your grief, Meredith. Like,
no. Totally.
Get you a friend who can do both.
Totally. By the way, it didn't feel weird seeing her there? Like,
yeah.
Like, what are you doing out of the church? Like, almost like she's a vampire, and, like, if she sees direct sunlight, like, it was just very bizarre.
No, it was very bizarre, but I'm glad she's
back. I like Mary,
back.
Too. I think she's, like, well-intended, you know, pending the fact that she's not, like, a cult leader.
Right. Well, we'll see about all that.
And also, I just have to say, Meredith Marks's first interview look is so...
The pink.
Gorgeous. And, like, she's sitting there crying about her dad, and it's so sad, but I can't help but, like, think, like, you are literally gorgeous. Like, she looked
gorgeous.
Amazing.
And her kids are gorgeous.
Yes, her daughter's... By the way, we need more daughter, because it's a lot of Brooks and
right,
not a lot of Chloe.
Right, and she showed up with the prayer, and so she has bonus points.
And she's got the ruach in her, and I just loved, like...
And, like, her glam, like... Kid, like, and I was thinking about, like, kids these days, how, like, they all know how to do perfect makeup. I wonder if she got her makeup done because, like, she knew she was going to be on
TV.
It didn't
look like...
Maybe she got, like, Meredith's makeup artist, like, did a touch-up.
Maybe, or, like, Meredith, like, threw
something. But it looked perfect.
Yeah, no, I just love this new house for Meredith. I don't even want to think about the fact that it might be fake.
And Brooks did a really good job with the challah. And you know what? I'm turning
fresh,
over.
I agree.
I'm turning over a new leaf with Brooks because I think he got off to a rocky start with most of the viewers last season. But now, like, seeing other people being mean to him, I'm like, no, that's not what we're doing.
Nobody comes for Brooks except us.
So I'm leaving everything from last season, mostly because I forget why I didn't like him.
By the way, literally me too. I thought the same thing. I'm like, I'm starting fresh with Brooks. Like, and I'm fully defending him against Jen Shah, like a grown woman coming after him. And like, honestly, I thought Meredith's answer for like his sexuality, which I think a lot of people have just been like wondering about, I think she had the most perfect answer. Like, he's figuring it out. Leave him alone. He's a child. And you know what? 100%.
Agreed. And so I'm ready for, you know, for Brooks and I to have a new relationship for season two. But I do feel like he was very burned by the reaction from season one. And I don't think we'll be seeing him a lot.
He didn't say a word last night. Yeah. I thought the same thing.
But Brooks, you killed it with the challah.
No, it was
even
beautiful.
Even when Whitney was wearing her tracksuit, I was like, that's cute.
I thought it was sweet Whitney was wearing the tracksuit too. Like, I thought it was nice.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. It's just crazy how time heals everything.
No, it does. Because like last season, I was like, I'm going to stop watching this show because of this
child. No, like when Andy wore a tracksuit, I was like,
so extra.
But now I'm just like, Brooks, you do your thing.
Yeah.
Don't let the haters like us.
Don't let the haters get you down.
And we were the haters.
No, but I'm 100% with you. Like, fresh start.
Fresh start.
So it was a really good season premiere.
And it was an hour and a half.
It was hour 15. I was like so confused because I looked over. It's 10:04. I'm like, why am I still watching this? I didn't mind at all because the conversation was really heating up between Lisa and Meredith. I just feel like I'm at such a good place now with the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, I can tell Lisa and Meredith apart now. And I'm just so excited to be here. Like, really and truly.
And I really like the new housewife so far.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I'm realizing?
She's a crazy story.
I know. And I'm so excited to, like, learn more about her and just get to know her. But what I'm realizing, I feel like with so many of the new housewives that we've seen, it's like they come out like really strong in the first episode or two. I'm like, yes, perfect casting. And then we never fucking hear from them again. Like Mia.
Yeah.
Crystal.
No. Yeah. That's a good call.
Yeah. I think it will be easier on Salt Lake City for Jenny because it's a newer franchise. But yeah. That's just like a thought that I had.
No, I liked
Mia
Jenny.
Mia came out so strong and now she's just like a wallflower and like kind of wishy-washy.
No, she's like a people pleaser. So yeah. Like she's kind of spineless. Like she takes everyone's side.
Yes, but then on Watch What Happens Live last night, like she was full of spine.
What did she say?
Like she was, first of all, she loves Karen. Like, and so, sometimes it's like unclear on the show.
Yeah. Because she's also like, you have a beautiful heart, Giselle.
Right. But then like someone asked her a shady fucking question and like one of the audience members and she just like shut that shit down real quick with a smile. So I was like, okay, you go girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but she has become like somewhat irrelevant.
Yeah. That's just what I was saying.
Yeah. So hopefully that's not the story for Jenny, but I would actually love to hear more about her fleeing Vietnam.
Right. Like this is a situation where like, please more home and personal scenes.
No, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. And her kids were so cute and just like
Bijan
and her. Yeah. And
so
her
funny.
Relationship with her husband seems great. And yeah. I like that she has a 10-year friendship with Lisa. Like,
right. And like, I just love when someone comes in with like a good amount of money and it makes sense. Like her husband's a doctor. Like it makes sense why she has money and I don't have any questions.
And a personality.
Yeah. She was super funny. Mm-hmm. And a story.
Yeah.
So I think it was a great casting. And this is just like literally my favorite show.
Yeah. No, I was being like, you know, kind of a naysayer about it. I was like, ugh, like something else. But I'm so glad to have them back. And now, like, I just need winter to be here. Oh, my gosh. We have to go to Utah. Like,
no, by the way.
The fact that, like, Heather, like, just went skiing and showed up at Meredith's house. I was like, why isn't that our life?
No, literally. It's like how the way, like, we would go get, like, a pretzel, they just, like, go ski down a mountain.
Literally.
Must be so fun.
So fun. Did she, like, ski over to Meredith's?
Literally.
Meredith might live on
the mountain. Like, she ski on, ski off.
Yeah. And then do you think Meredith pays for the whole rental or a production helps her? If, like,
I don't want to live in a world where she doesn't pay for the whole production.
No, but like
rental.
She shouldn't really have to. Like they want
to. No, I'm sorry. This is a show about people's lives and like you all need a house.
Fine. Fine. Brew will accept it.
I'm just like, what's her husband's name? Seth doing over there in Ohio? Like make Meredith some money so she can buy her own house.
Yeah. Well,
the pressure's on.
I think they have their own house, but not in, maybe they don't want to live in Salt Lake City. You know?
Maybe. Do you think that Meredith was the one who...
I think Meredith... Okay, this is what I'm thinking. I think Meredith lives in Park City.
And you're not allowed to film in Park City.
And that's where her store is.
Yeah.
So I think she has to get a rental when she wants to be in Salt Lake.
Maybe.
Even though they're not that far from each other. It's like 40 minutes.
Do you think that Meredith was the one who tipped the feds off that she would be at Beauty Lab.
No.
Me neither.
I think that there's a million fucking people who work on the show. There's a million people who work for Jen. I think the feds probably got to one of her like low level Shaw Squad assistants and was like, well, you know,
what's your schedule?
You've been involved in a crime. If you want to get off, where can we find Miss Shaw?
Yeah.
And no, this insinuation that it was Meredith, like that's.
No, and it seems like it becomes like a huge focal point, which like is so
Teresa
annoying.
That's accusing the Manzos. Like,
yeah, right. But the thing is like it becomes a focal point, which is so annoying because then we're not talking about what Jen actually did. Because I didn't see one conversation of people asking Jen, like, how do you feel about the fact that you stole from old and vulnerable people? They're all obsessed with like, well, how did they know she was at Beauty Lab? Who cares?
Yeah.
They were going to find her. She wasn't on the run.
There were, probably on that day, there were 100 people who knew that Jen would be at Beauty Lab.
Production, like, there's a million people. Why would it be Meredith? Except Meredith did say something like really ominous at lunch, like about how Jen's going through. She's going to need friends, how she's going through a hard time or something.
Oh, I missed that.
She did. It was weird. But then also Jen said something ominous, like I've never been to prison.
Right. Yeah.
Homeless shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a lot of television to watch last night, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And tonight
is Bachelor in Paradise, which we don't watch, but Margo will be recapping.
No, but I've been hearing, like, good things, so I'm glad that you guys are all enjoying it.
And, unfortunately, tomorrow night is the Real Housewives of New York reunion. Like, they took a break or whatever.
But it's here.
I think.
Have you seen a preview?
No, but it has to be, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen a commercial, not even last night when I was scooting through. Yeah, that's true. You watch commercials, right?
Yeah, all of them.
So, no, there's no way.
Oh, my God, you're right.
That's
how crazy. Are they just not going to air the reunion?
I don't know. They'll wait longer.
They did film something like 2 weeks
so
ago.
So then why didn't Salt Lake City premiere on Tuesday?
Yeah, having back-to-back was annoying.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll move it something to Tuesday.
But Sunday night is like where the good shows go. Like if you get a Sunday night slot on Bravo, that means you have good ratings.
I guess, but for me as a viewer,
I don't
Tuesday
love it.
Works.
Yeah, I don't love it. Like, yeah, Sunday, it's still the
I'm
weekend.
Like, because that's because we view it as work.
Homework, yeah.
And then it's like we're doing work on the weekends, even though it's not like that. But
work.
Yeah. So, I'll just share the other stuff that I watched this weekend, which was I finished my book, The Social Graces, about Mrs. Astor and Alva Vanderbilt. And it definitely got me, like, curious about, you know, Gilded Age New York. And I saw in the bibliography that the author said she got a lot of, like, her content from, like, this Rick Burns documentary about New York. And I'd heard of it before. So it's on Amazon. It's an 8-part docuseries. Each episode is, like, an hour and a half.
Torture.
And it's the history of New York from, like, the Dutch in 1624 till now. Right now I'm in, like, 1880. So, but it's really like some of it is like definitely drags a little bit, but there's so many interesting factoids. It's like crazy, like the street names and like why certain areas are called what they're called, and like just the city planning, the grid, Central Park,
the grid.
So much interest, the Erie Canal, like, and it's crazy because I've learned so much of this, and I actually took a class in college like the history of New York. So I've watched this movie, and still so much of it is new to me because, like, until you care about something, it's just not going to resonate.
No, and that's the thing. Like, kids really shouldn't go to school, like, so young because, like, they don't give a shit, you know?
No, it's...
If you want them to remember something, like, go when they're 30.
No, it's so true. Like, I obviously know that of the Erie Canal, but I had no idea of, like...
The significance,
the strategic import.
Because you learned it when you didn't care.
Because I learned it when I didn't care. And that's also, like, remember how I said I took a class, like, History of Russia, and then I was reading a book about, you know, the Romanovs, only to find out that the whole family was murdered, the whole royal family. I'm like, this is news to me, but I know that I've heard it before.
Why? Because you didn't care.
Because I didn't care enough.
Normalize, like, starting middle school at the age of 30.
Yeah. So, and also, it's giving me, this docuseries is giving me a renewed appreciation for New York, just like the spirit of things, and that's like good. Why New York is the way that it is, and like what we all sacrifice living here, but like why we do that, you know? So I just feel like I've been hard on my city in recent years.
You have.
And it's good to remember the good times, you know, and just see what makes us here as New Yorkers.
Totally.
So it's good. If anybody is looking for a little history, it's Rick Burns' New York on Amazon. You have to buy the whole thing. So I'm going episode by episode. But I'm sure eventually I'll just, you know, buy the rest for $3.99.
Yeah, whatever. Like finish the package.
Yeah.
Totally.
And Brew's been enjoying it because there's horses mm-hmm. and stuff, and there's also dogs, and so, and he likes learning about his...
Fuck, you scared the shit out of me, Bruno. Oh, my God.
He likes learning about his city.
Oh, my God. He gave me a fright, Chessie.
Oh, he didn't give me a fright. I saw it all going down.
I didn't see any of it. Okay, well, that sounds nice. Yeah, I didn't really watch any TV this weekend.
Look at you. Hey, no, look at me.
I'm, like, just so in the moment, you know?
That's you.
So that's me, and that's our show.
That is our show, you guys.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. My next Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about a beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing fucking day. And if you're still here, congratulations. You've made it to the Society Season 2. To prove your loyalty to the Morning Toast, drop a comment on our most recent Instagram and make it the emoji of...
like...
the crab.
Crab.
No, I don't know if there's a crab one. Lobster.
You have a visitor. Lobster.
Lobster, because Bruno has gout. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.